Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's brought to my attention that we have no electronic board today. All right, well, we'll do the best we can. Padanushaktam tapaniyopakalkam. Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam. Mahagadam kanchana chitradam sam. Mahagadam kanchana chitradam sam. Mamanya bhikshnam pratudaniyam. Mamanya bhikshnam pratudantam daruktai. Mamanya bhikshnam pratudantam duruktai. Prachandamanyu prahasam stamla babase. Prachandamanyu prahasam stambabase. Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam. Mahagadam kanchana chitradam sam. Mamanya bhikshnam pratudantam duruktai. Prachanda manyu prahasam stamla babhase. Others. Paranushaktam tapaniyopakalpam. Vaishnavis.
Thank you.
We're going to do the word for word. So just so everybody is aware, we're reading from the third canto, which is entitled Status Quo. This is chapter 18, the battle between Lord Bor and Hiranyaksha. And we just chanted text number 9. So this is the word for word. Pada, from behind. Anushaktam, who followed very closely. Tapaniya Upalkam, who had a considerable amount of gold ornaments. Mahagadam, with a great mace. Kanchana, golden. Chitra, beautiful. Damsam, armor. Marmani, the core of the heart. Abhikshnam, constantly. Pladudantam, piercing. Daruktai, by abusive words. Prachanda, terrible. Manu, anger. Prahasan, laughing. Tam, to him. Babase, he said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. Purport. The Lord could have chastised the demon immediately while the demon was deriding the Lord with ill words, but the Lord tolerated him to please the demigods and to show that they should not be afraid of demons while discharging their duties. Therefore, his toleration was displayed mainly to drive away the fears of the demigods, who should know that the Lord is always present to protect them. The demon's derision of the Lord was just like the barking of dogs. The Lord did not care about it, since he was doing his own work in delivering the earth from the midst of the water. Materialistic demons always possess large amounts of gold in various shapes, and they think that a large amount of gold, physical strength, and popularity can save them from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gina Timanam Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stap Bitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadapti Swapadamtikam. So, why hear such topics? You know, we're hearing about a battle between the Lord Bor and Hiranyaksha, and this is just one of so many. Well, at the end of the next chapter, the explanation or the answer to that question is given by Sukadeva Goswami. He says, O Brahmanas, anyone who hears, chants, and takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a brahmana. So that's it's called a Shruti Palam, the benediction that one receives as a result of hearing this particular pastime. And then in the purport, Prabhupada expands and he sort of explains the principle underlying why it's so beneficial to hear the pastimes of the Lord. Prabhupada says in a couple sentences, he says, since the personality of Godhead is in the absolute position, there is no difference between his pastimes and his personality. Anyone who hears about the pastimes of the Lord associates with the Lord directly. And one who associates directly with the Lord is certainly freed from all sinful activities, even to the extent of killing of a brahmana, which is considered the most sinful activity in the material world. So there's tremendous spiritual benefit as a result of hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And we just heard the explanation of why that is. Aside, in addition to that, in the next verse, it's further explained. It says, this most sacred narrative confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all the objects of one's desire. On the field of battle, it promotes the strength of one's vital organs and organs of action. One who listens to it at the last moment of his life is transferred to the supreme abode of the Lord, O dear Shonaka. So in the purport, Prabhupada elaborates upon that. But the idea is that there's immense benefit for one who engages in this process of hearing, both spiritual and even material. As it specifically says here, confers extraordinary merit, wealth, fame, longevity, and all objects of one's desire. So it's like a total win-win type of program, hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. One benefits materially and one benefits spiritually. So as far as today's verse goes, going back there, so Prabhupada explains in the purport here, he says, the Lord could have chastised the demon immediately while the demon was deriding the Lord with ill words. But the Lord tolerated him to please the demigods and to show that they should not be afraid of demons while discharging their duties. Therefore, his toleration was displayed mainly to drive away the fears of the demigods, who should know that the Lord is always present to protect them. So in the material world, there's the demon's derision of the Lord was just like the barking of dogs. And the Lord did not care about it as he was doing his own work and delivering the earth from the midst of the water. So in the material world, there's an expression, throwing one's weight around. Have you heard that expression? I'm finding a lot of my expressions are no longer something that everybody knows. Yeah, Amala Bhakti Maharaj remembers that one. Throwing one's weight around. So that's the demons, people who are, demons are predominantly influenced by the modes of passion, ignorance, and they have a tendency to do that. They like to throw their weight around, you see? So that's what's going on here, Hiranyaksha is throwing his weight around, and Lord Varaha is demonstrating that, I'm not fazed by it. And he's showing the demigods. Prabhupada points out in the purport, the Lord tolerated these deriding words of Hiranyaksha to please the demigods, to show they should not be afraid of the demons while discharging their duties. So that's Prabhupada gave an example of that once as well. It was a nice situation. It was in London, and it was one of the early Rathiatras. I don't know if it was the first Rathiatra or not, but it was a very early Rathiatra. So a huge number of devotees assembled. And London has a big Indian population as well. So it wasn't just like Western devotees. It was like a huge Indian population. And they know what Rathiatra is all about. So, and this was, I think it was the first one, because what happened was this huge group of people were there. And, the Rath carts were there. And then the kirtan started up. And the processions, starting to roll, so to speak, literally. And the bobbies, that's what they call the police over there. The bobbies were kind of getting all worried. Wait a second, This is like going to get out of control here. And they went to, I don't know if I heard this story from Dhananjaya or Revetinandana or maybe even Naranarayan, I can't remember, but they went to some of the devotees. They approached the devotees and said, hey, whoa. You guys can't do this. This is going to get out of control. They said, who's in charge? And they pointed to Prabhupada. So the bobbies went up to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in the procession with everybody else. He wasn't, sitting on a... He was just in the procession with everybody else and he was chanting. Procession started, things were moving at this point. So they approached Prabhupada and with their concerns started trying to talk to him. Says, sir, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, this can't happen because this crowd's going to get out of control. It's, you know, there's too many people here. And Papa just ignored him. Right? You've heard this story? Anybody else heard this story? It's on the memories. Anyway, Papa just ignored him. You know, he just kept chanting and he just kept walking. And nothing happened. You know, they didn't. No further action was taken on the part of the Bobbies. They didn't kind of like escalate their, you know, warnings or do anything else. There was no enforcement. They just, so Papa demonstrated, you know, on this occasion that, you know, sometimes you just, you know, I don't know if this expression came from Papa, but there's an expression: the dogs may bark, but the caravan passes. So Prabhupada kind of, you know, demonstrated that. Let them bark. They were barking. But Prabhupada was not fazed by it. You know, he just decided, okay, whatever. You know, I'm not going to distract myself from the chanting. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about. These guys are just throwing their weight around. Let them do their thing. And I'm just going to keep chanting and keep walking, which is exactly what he did. And everything was fine. So it's like that. You know, it's a material world. I experience that sometimes on college campuses. You know, sometimes you're all set up and some, you know, police or some college officials come by and say, you know, do you have permission to do this? You know, you've been to the office, or you're not selling anything, right? You know, you can't take any money out here, right? They don't know what they're talking about. You know, I mean, Magendra, who's a First Amendment attorney, and Amarendra, they both, according to the Constitution of the United States, it's public, we're allowed to be there, we're allowed to ask for donations, we're allowed to sell religious literature, but they just want to throw their weight around. So we just have to humor them, basically. You know, we just, yes, thank you, whatever you say. Bye-bye. And then they just walk off, and there's no enforcement. You know, it's just another example of that. But Prabhupada gave the great example, of course. Prabhupada just showed that he didn't get flustered. He didn't get, you know, kind of like react to them and get into an... No, he just kind of kept chanting and kept going and everything was fine. So that's, you know, sort of like a modern day example of... Right. Well, this was in London. This happened in London, the one I'm talking about. Right. Yeah, so it was all legit. Anyway, so, that's as far as that point goes. And towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada says here, the materialistic demons always possess large amounts of gold in various shapes, and they think that a large amount of gold, physical strength, and popularity can save them from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, you know, of course, that is a mistake. You know, that thinking that their wealth, strength, and popularity are going to allow them to not have to be accountable for their sinful activities at the time of death. Everybody's accountable, and they will have to be accountable to Yamaraj at the time of their death. And by Divi, you know, what's that? Divi Nitrena, you know that verse? Keep going. Kamana Divi Nitrena. Janto Striya Up Pravistam Udaram. Anyway, it explains in that verse in the third canto in the Bhagavatam that by the higher authorities, one is given their next body. See? So at the time of death, everybody... these powerful demons with all the gold who have, you know, big, powerful bodies and a lot of wealth and a lot of popularity, they're going to be before Yamaraj and they're going to be accountable for everything they did during this lifetime, and then they're going to be awarded another body. So it's not going to put, as you know, they think that's going to save them from the wrath of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it won't. You know, it won't. Because everybody is going to be is accountable for what they've done during this lifetime at that time. And that's described, aside from that third canto verse, in the Bhagavatam, in the end of the 16th chapter here of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, referring to people in this category, says, "Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence." So, you know, nobody gets away with anything, basically. Everybody's accountable for whatever, especially human beings. Human beings are accountable for what they do during this lifetime at the time of death. And then they'll be awarded their next body according to the quality of their activities in this lifetime. One thing Prabhupada does mention here in towards the end of this purport, he says, "There are instances in history of many asuras to whom the Lord appeared in various incarnations just to kill them. Therefore, God's mercy is shown to the asuras if they are fortunate enough to be killed by him." So that's there. But it's not the recommended program for people interested in liberation. There's better ways to go about it than to be a big demon and hope to get killed by, you know, the Lord, like, say, when Kalki comes at the end of Kali Yuga. No, not a good idea. If you're interested in liberation, there's better ways to go about it than being a demon and in hopes of getting killed by the Lord and getting liberation like that. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, question. Yeah. Jagat Trata Das.
Hare Krishna, Prigupati Prabhu. Thank you very much for the really nice class. I was just wondering about this specific point that the Lord is encouraging the demigods, the devotees, to engage in their duties and to not fear any harassment from the demons. And when I first heard this, my initial thought is that we could do very risky and dangerous things for Krishna. He'll be there to protect us. What's the proper perspective on this, taking risks in Krishna consciousness, going to dangerous places, meeting dangerous people, being in dangerous situations, but having... Yeah, but what's the proper perspective on depending on the Lord and while entering into dangerous situations and circumstances?
Okay. Well, my first thought would be to consider what you're thinking about doing in light of instructions you've heard from Srila Prabhupada or your spiritual master. We take risks for Krishna's service, but they should be bona fide risks. And, like for instance, there were some devotees in New Zealand once. They were against, they thought they would do something because they were upset that there was about slaughterhouses. So they were producing some sort of a bomb, which they were going to, their plan was to take it to some slaughter. Anyway, the bomb exploded in their house and they all got killed. So, you know, it's like, there's times when it's inappropriate. You have to think, well, I'm thinking to taking this risk, but what would Prabhupada say? That's a good way to do it. You know, what would Prabhupada say about me doing this? Would Prabhupada be approve of me doing this? Would he be pleased by my doing this or not? And, you know, that's like a good way to approach it, and also to think if you can remember some specific instruction on the subject. But yeah, it is, you know, and then you could also do what's called a risk-benefit analysis. Well, here's the risk I'm thinking of taking. What's the benefit? And what's the downside if it doesn't go, you know? So, but the most important thing is like, well, what what would Prabhupada say about this? Or what did Prabhupada say about this? Or if you can't think of anything specific, then there's that expression, discretion is the better part of valor. So just, you know, pray to Krishna, use your intelligence and try to think, would Prabhupada be pleased by my doing this, or would he be not? And then take it from there. And if you have an opportunity, you could also consult other devotees, senior devotees, if they're available, you know, get some kind of feedback from other devotees as well to make sure your intelligence is kind of working along the right lines there. Sachin Narayan, you want to say something?
Hare Krishna. I think that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada appreciate when we wish to take risks, but they want them to be calculated risks, like you said. And just the example of what's going on now, we are interested in distributing books to the Muslims, and normally we would go to a place and just distribute books there. But going to the Middle East or Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia or something, and trying to distribute would have a very bad result, dangerous result. But Srila Prabhupada said that the BBT's duty is to serve languages, not countries. So wherever the language is spoken, you're reaching the person. And so by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in their own language, which goes deepest into their hearts, the first cognitive experience we have as an embryo is the sound of our mother's language. It goes extremely deep. So by distributing in the Western world, because there's millions who come as tourists and students and who live here, then if they're affected, which they are, by the wonderful association of the book distributors, then they have a desire to share it with their friends and family, so they take the books back to those areas. It's almost like there's like two ways to touch the nose, like this or like this, Prabhupada said. But the result's the same. So yeah. That's what we'd call a calculated risk to distribute to them here. It's just one example. But
yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah. Just, calculated, a little bit of intelligent risk-taking is, I think, very much appreciated. Look what Prabhupada did.
Yeah. You just gave me a realization on the power of the words of the spiritual master when you made that statement about Prabhupada said, the BBT's business is to serve languages, not countries. And you said that, and I just went, I just experienced like a paradigm shift in my head about my whole attitude towards foreign language books. Yeah. If Prabhupada said that, if that's what Prabhupada said, okay. That's a whole different story, Thank you. That was a really nice example, and thank you. That's a bona fide quote, right?
Yes.
Prabhupada said the BBT's business is to serve languages, not countries. Wow, thank you. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, we have lists of languages, not countries.
Right. Yeah, it's a very important statement and understanding. Sachin Anoy, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. A verse came from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my direction. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So we see that actually in Srila Prabhupada, there are so many examples and how faithful he has that he had to take risks in so many areas. For example, the famous Yuhu project. You read that book that Giriraj Maharaj wrote, it's like no one else will do what he did. Something that is unthinkable. He didn't have any power, materially speaking, with the authorities, big personalities, judges, governmental people against him. But he had that faith and that conviction. But at the same time, he had the purity, of course, the purity, the faith, and that he achieved everything. Many devotees actually were trying to kind of discourage Prabhupada and said, what are we doing here? Why? So the practical example of this will be that, I'm thinking myself, if we're not at that level, if you think you're going to take a risk, like both of you mentioned, a calculated risk, always with the advice of other senior devotees will be advisable. Otherwise, fanatically, can be disastrous. It can be actually a chaos, thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for Krishna because Krishna wants. But actually, it might not necessarily be. It might be your immaturity or maybe fanaticism. I remember one time one devotee, this is just a small thing, but we were on the freeway and we were going to go to distribute books in some place in Pomona. But the freeway was packed, and this devotee is a Prabhupada disciple, so I'm a bhakta, so I don't know, I'm just do whatever he wants. He said, Prabhu, pray to Krishna. I said, what are you going to do, Prabhu? He says, we're going to go in the, the last lane, the one that you don't supposed to drive. I said, no, Prabhu, don't do that because you're going to get a ticket. He said, no, just pray to Krishna. We're going to take the risk. I thought, my God, this is crazy. So this is, the example of someone who fanatically and mature misused the word, the risk, but actually is not appropriate. It was not the...
Did he get a ticket?
Advisable. So,
What happened? Did he get a ticket?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anybody else? Any questions?
Oh, Prabhu, I just want to mention another thing. Actually, there was one example of Srila Prabhupada also sometimes in Bombay when there was a big program and there was a small group of some party, I think it was Communist Party, who was trying to disturb Prabhupada's preaching program, and they were throwing chairs everywhere. And Prabhupada asked, what is that? He said, some people are doing this and that because they're not very happy for, the presentation. They were, I think, communists. And Prabhupada very, patiently, he just switched to the speech and started chanting, Govindam Adipurusham. So he carried on with his duty, kind of ignoring, but at the same time, with faith in Krishna. And he pacified those people. They just threw away.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.